And now my message on today's broadcast is entitled, Salvation and How to Obtain It. I am basing this on the book of Romans, chapter 10. I shall begin reading at verse 4, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for Thy continued blessings upon us. We rejoice in our salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask today that as this broadcast fills the air, for those who may be listening who have never trusted Christ as their Savior, may they come this moment, even now, while the broadcast is on the air, trusting Jesus Christ as their very own. And then, Father, for those many Christians who are listening, some who are preparing to attend Sunday school and church this morning, we ask that Thou wouldst bless them as they study Thy Word and as they worship Thee today. And then for those who have grown indifferent and careless and unconcerned and somewhat disinterested, we pray that Thou wouldst awaken in them a desire and a determination to put Christ first in their lives this day. And may as a result of this broadcast, many come to know Jesus Christ, and many hearts be refreshed, and many vows be renewed toward Thee. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all of these blessings in His name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. The book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever, and note that word, it's the most comforting word in the New Testament, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever wondered at what age most people are saved? Statistics prove that most people are saved before they reach their 18th birthday. These same statistics show that between the ages 18 and 25, your chances of being saved are 5,000 to 1. Between the ages 25 and 35, your chances would be 25,000 to 1. If you are between 35 and 45 years of age, your chances of coming to know Christ, of being saved, are 80,000 to 1. If you have passed your 45th birthday, your chances of being saved, according to these statistics, would be 1 million to 1. My message on today's broadcast, again, the title is simply Salvation and How to Obtain It. What is salvation? The Greek word for salvation is soterios, which means to deliver from death. I speak not now about the physical death. We know the Bible teaches it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. I speak of a spiritual death, the spiritual death of which John the Revelator speaks in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, where he says that death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second death. And John goes on to say, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you in the early moments of my message, is your name written there? On the page, bright and fair, is your name written there? I'm not asking you, is your name on the church roll? First of all, your name must be on God's roll, the heavenly roll, the roll in the sky. Is your name written there? Salvation is deliverance from eternal and spiritual death. Salvation is not in an organization. Salvation is not in a club. It is not in the denomination. It is not in the church. Salvation is in a person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. His name, Jesus, means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, the angel said, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. We read in John 1, 11 and 12, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We read in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:36 we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in Acts 4:12, we have these words, listen carefully. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All you need to be saved is Jesus Christ. It is not Jesus plus. It is not Jesus and. It is not Jesus or. It is simply Jesus Christ alone. The worst of sinners needs no more. The best can do with no less. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a happening. Someone asked Mel Trotter, who was a converted drunkard and who became a mighty preacher of the word, Mel Trotter, how do you know that you're saved? And Mel Trotter answered, I was there when it happened. And I ought to know. Yes, salvation is a happening. It is a happening that takes place between God and man. It is a happening that takes place within the heart. You see, salvation is an inside job. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible declares that God looks on the heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, we read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart of man is the seat of his emotion. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds all evil. How is your heart today? Is your heart right with God? Salvation is a happening that must take place within your heart. And salvation is a happening that takes place only once. You have one physical birth, and you can have only one spiritual birth. It is impossible for you to be saved more than once. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again, that is, born from above, born by the Holy Spirit, born into the family of God in a spiritual birth that comes about only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, salvation is a happening that lasts for all eternity. Someone has put it this way: once in Christ forever, nothing from His love my soul shall sever. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." In the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Beloved, if you're saved today, you're saved forever. God gives but one kind of life, and that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. Someone might ask, "But can I not be saved by good works?" I'll let the Bible answer. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, the only way that you can be saved is by grace, through faith, in the redemptive and finished work of Christ upon the cross. Ah, but you might ask, "Can I be saved by membership? By joining the church, by being baptized, by learning the catechisms, by memorizing the scriptures?" Again, I'll let the Word of God answer. From Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." No, it is not by joining the church. It is not by being baptized. It is not by subscribing to the doctrines of the church. It is by the mercies of God that you can be saved. Oh, but you say, "Preacher, can't I be saved by keeping the law, by doing the best I can, by abiding by the law of Moses?" Again, I'll let the Word of God answer that question. From Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. "Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." You see, the law does not save. The law simply shows us that we need a Savior, that we need salvation, that we need to be saved. Again, from the book of Romans, chapter 10, I read it a moment ago in verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And then in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes concerning the work of Christ, "Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, taking it away, nailing it to His cross." Jesus Christ has nailed to the cross all of the requirements of the law. You and I stood condemned before God's law. God's law was a sentence of death, but Jesus Christ, bearing our sins in His own body on the cross, nailed the handwriting of the ordinances of the law to His cross. He and He alone can save through His shed blood on Calvary's tree. When a man needs an appendectomy, does he call a plumber, a painter, a scientist? No, he calls for the doctor. If you are outside Christ today, you need spiritual surgery. You need to call the great physician. You need to have a new heart, a transplanted heart. Jesus Christ will put a new heart in your body, as it were, a spiritual being, a new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, a new creature. You ask then, preacher, if keeping the law will not save me, if joining the church will not save me, if being baptized will not save me, if doing the best I can will not save me, how can I be saved? Here's the answer. You can be saved only by confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior. My text says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That is the way of salvation. You can be saved only by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But listen, here's good news. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can be saved only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer asked Paul this question. Perhaps it's the question that you're asking this moment. What must I do to be saved? The answer comes back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How? Believe that Jesus Christ died. Believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Believe that he ascended back to the Father. Believe that he's coming again. Believe in thine heart, and thou shalt be saved. Listen again to verse 13 of Romans 10. Whosoever, mark that word, that means you. That includes you right now. Oh, you say, but Pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know my life. You don't know how deeply into sin I've gone. No, I don't. But God knows, and his grace is sufficient, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Listen to it again. Whosoever, that's the most comforting word in the scripture. Whosoever, that means you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to bring a sacrificial animal to an altar. Jesus Christ is your Passover lamb slain for you. You don't have to mutilate or disfigure your body. Jesus Christ has already been mutilated and disfigured on Calvary's cross as he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. You don't have to pay for your redemption. Jesus paid it all. He paid for your salvation with the price of his blood on Calvary's cross. He satisfied every demand and every requirement and every payment that God ever made. Through the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ paid the price of your redemption. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Again, I give you the word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you ask, what shall I say to the Lord? How shall I address him? What shall I ask him? Here it is. Say to him, Dear Jesus, help me. I cannot help myself. Dear Jesus, wash me. I cannot wash myself. Dear Jesus, save me. I cannot save myself. Simply pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the moment you do, Jesus Christ will come into your heart. God will forgive your sin, and you can have salvation. Bear in mind once again, it's not by keeping the law. It's not by doing the best you can. It's not by joining the church or being baptized. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we admonish you to keep on praying.